Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Perhaps no state in the nation is more aware of water safety than Michigan. Seeing the Flint water disaster play out since 2014 has given us all a very harsh lesson in not taking safe water for granted. Yet President Trump's proposed budget takes an axe to the EPA's budget, one of the agencies most responsible for protecting our water and our infrastructure. Here with us is Keith Fosinski. He's on the front lines monitoring drinking water, and he's vice president of Local 704 of the American Federation of Government Employees. He got his PhD in microbiology and immunology from Wayne State University, where he's an adjunct professor. Keith, first off, tell us about the duties your job entails.
So I have a couple of different jobs. One is, like you said, I'm the Vice President of the American Federation of Government Employees. I represent EPA employees across six states, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio. And then I also serve, my day job is I'm a toxicologist for EPA.
So you are acutely aware of the health risk from contaminated water. Certainly, Flint goes down in history as one of the worst examples of this with lead and Legionella and chemical contamination. And those of us who followed the story closely know it was EPA Region 5 water expert Miguel Del Toro, who was one of the few heroes trying to get the state and the former Region 5 administrator, Susan Hedman, to listen to his warnings about Flint water. So how does the proposed Trump budget threaten that kind of frontline work?
Well, I'll tell you, one thing people don't tend to realize is 60% of the EPA's budget is actually flow-through. The money comes to EPA, and we basically distribute it to states and local municipalities for them to use on low-income or low-interest loans to fix their infrastructure and replace it. So when they cut the money that's coming to the agency, they're cutting money that's actually going to the states. Now, what you keep hearing from the administration is, we want the EPA cut so the states can take over. States don't have the money to do this. It's just not there. But when you cut the money from the EPA, you're basically cutting the money from the states and local municipalities and tribes.
And what about in terms of having to lay people off at the EPA?
Well, they're just doing now they're doing what's called a VERA and VSIP, which is basically they're doing early buyouts for people who are almost ready to retire, but not quite. So they're actually giving them early outs.
So the ranks are being thinned.
They're being thinned.
So as we talk about that the flow-through grants are going to hit states hard, that money won't be coming from the EPA, and thinning the ranks at the EPA. As we talk about that, how many more Flints do you think are out there, communities in danger of unsafe water?
All of them. All of our infrastructure is falling apart. It's all old. There's nothing being done. Right now it's being estimated that we need $384 billion over the next 20 years to replace our water system. It's only being funded at about $863 million a year. We're never going to reach the tipping point of giving people clean water if we're not funding it like we should be. These revolving funds that we have, the state revolving fund, basically for every dollar that the EPA gives the states get $2 worth of investment. So if we actually funded that $19 billion a year, in 20 years, 10 years actually, we can have all of our infrastructure, all of our drinking water infrastructure across the country replaced and have clean drinking water at any faucet across the country.
And instead, this 2018 proposed budget from the president would cut more than $600 million
right. From
these drinking water-related programs and grants.
Right. The newest budget that's just been approved, that's going to get approval now, been approved at the Appropriations Committee, now it's going to the full House, has cut us by 6%.
So what you're saying is we're going backwards.
We're going backwards. What you saw in Flint is going to happen everywhere across the country. It already is happening in other places. It's not very well publicized, but it's happening.
But it is. It's staggering to think when we realize that it has been all of this time since the wraps came off of what's going on in Flint, and still just a fraction of the water infrastructure has been changed out. The cost, the time, and the effort, and the idea of having to basically retrofit the country, I think it's hard to wrap your mind around that.
True. There's other ways of doing it. I mean, not just in the drinking water infrastructure, just society as a whole, if we change the way we do things and actually educate people on how to go about, you know, doing the construction work. If we educate the masses, you know, how to do the infrastructure, how to do the plumbing, and get them out there to do it, we have the people that can do it. There's so many unemployed people in the country right now. We can train them. We can get them out in the field, putting the pipes in the ground. But it's just not happening. Our investments are going other directions. You know, I do human health for a living, and I don't see why we can't spend the money on keeping our American people safe.
People, Keith, who care about the environment and care about environmental justice, they look at the person chosen by the president to head the EPA, Scott Pruitt, someone who spent his tenure as Oklahoma's attorney general continually suing the EPA for its efforts to regulate mercury and smog and other forms of pollution. And they wonder, will the EPA be the environmental guardian that we need under Scott Pruitt? I mean, will scientists like you be able to do the work you know needs doing?
The easy answer for that is no. I will tell you, I am the only person, the only toxicologist that serves six states in the function that I do. Anything happens 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, I'm the one they call. When I first started, there was four of me. Now there's only one, and they have yet to even look at hiring another one.
It's a mighty thin safety net.
Yes.
What do you think are the lessons that the EPA, Region 5 and nationally, learned from what happened in Flint? I mean, the failures of government at so many levels leading up to and after Flint was switched from Detroit water to the Flint River water included the EPA. So what lessons did the agency learn from Flint?
I hope they learned that communication is key, that when someone on the front line like myself or Miguel Del Toro says, hey, there's a problem, we shouldn't jump up and say, oh, wait, that hasn't been vetted by the agency yet. If those of us on the front line say, yeah, we have a problem, this needs to be fixed, there should be 100% commitment to fix that problem instead of trying to cover it up and blame other people. I mean, there's a big disconnect between the city of Flint, the state of Michigan, and the EPA on who did what, when, where, and how. As soon as the first data came out and Miguel Del Toro said, yeah, there's an issue here, there should have been a lot more communication working together to get that situation solved. It should have never went as long as it did before something happened.
Again, knowing that your mission is to keep people healthy, what's the takeaway from what we're talking about right now as the budget makes its way, as the EPA budget makes its way through Congress? What's the call to action?
The best thing to do is call your congressmen and senators and tell them they need to fund the agency to its fullest potential. We can't keep cutting the agency's budget because we can't keep protecting people. Our hands are already tied as it is. As one of the president of my local says, basically, we have a dog with no teeth. We can't do anything to fix the problem if people ain't giving us the resources to do it.
Keith Fazinski, Vice President of Local 704 of the American Federation of Government Employees. Keith, thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.